I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Valerie Plame. She's a former CIA ops officer, community activist and author, and Sarah Lovett, acclaimed author of 5 books, psychological thrillers, and the two of them are co-authors of the new thriller Blowback. They will be speaking tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Books. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
Wonderful, thrilling book, spy thrillers starring a very compelling heroine named Vanessa Pearson, who bears a certain resemblance to a Valerie Plame that we know. How did you come to the idea of writing this book and collaborating on it?
We were, we share a publisher, David Rosenthal, who has his own imprint now at Penguin called Blue Rider Press, and he put us together sort of on a blind date. And we met a couple years ago. We had lunch at Santa Plaza.
Santa Cafe.
Mm-hmm. And we liked each other immediately, and it's been a productive and happy working relationship.
So you were set up.
It was a setup.
And so basically, I mean, the idea was you've got all this material, you've got all this incredible writing ability. What was it like for you, Sarah, to basically have, I mean, I assume when you do a research for a thriller, you have to do all kinds of research. Here, your research is another person who you get to meet with as often as you want.
Yeah, it's great. It's really super to have someone who's smart and funny and knows the world and someone I can relate to just on a you know, daily basis of working mom. We talk about that. We share that. And a worldview that we share in general. So really, I think that's one of the incredible gifts of the collaboration process, if you have that line up. But, you know, it's tricky to find that. It's like marriage or anything else, right? You really, it's rare. I think it's rare. I think that's one of the most exciting aspects. And I think that because we had that sort of basic ground, it's gone really, really well from there. Mm-hmm. and just grown.
And of course, it's the first of a series.
Yep.
Yes. In fact, after we finish this, we need to
go to work.
we need to go to work. We're
fingers,
well underway on the second in the series. Hopefully, it will be a long series, and it will be even better.
Well, it's a really compelling story. I mean, I was gripped by about page 2 and just, you know, you can't put it down.
Right.
I mean, it really is one of those books.
Good.
It's fun to read, and I wondered how you developed. I mean, obviously, we're drawing on your actual experience as a CIA operative. How did you develop the story?
That really was mutual, although the heart of it, because it wraps around a secret Iranian nuclear facility, of course, is informed by my CIA experience and expertise and my passion. I really find the whole issue of nuclear proliferation to be something I've spoken on your show about. So that was easy in that regard to make that the central point. And the villain, Boot, as he's nicknamed, was really inspired by A.Q. Khan, who's the Pakistani nuclear scientist who's under house arrest now in Pakistan. But for decades, he sold all sorts of nuclear widgets to anybody who had the money. So, you know, you have to have a villain, you have to have a heroine and a plot. And then Sarah and I were off to the races.
So you got together and, I mean, you said, okay, here's this guy who exists in real life. Let's have him be our villain. But then, I mean, building a story, you have to have, I guess, a lot of some sort of perfect combination or skillful combination of reality and fiction. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, and that's where the Santa Plaza comes in. We had our our meetings in the plaza. And a lot of talking and a lot of bouncing and what ifs, you know, the fabulous
a lot of research.
Fiction what if research, mm-hmm. a lot of taking what about this and following through on that. And a lot of times for me to be able to, again, that's where it comes in to say, Valerie, you know, give me more information on this, more background on that, and how this might be plausible and that might be plausible. But it was very much a, you know, a
a collaborative.
Yeah, a dance, process. A give and take, fun, you know.
And we've also worked very hard to make it as realistic as possible, whether it's location or tradecraft, how spies really communicate, as well as the relationships for Vanessa Pearson, whether it's her personal relation, her romantic life, or with colleagues and mentors. It was important to both of us that the protagonist be this strong female who actually used her intelligence to collect and do successful operations rather than the old standbys of guns and sex.
Right. And are there a lot of women in the kind of position that Vanessa Pearson is in that you were in?
Not particularly, although the CIA just the other day released thousands of documents about women in the CIA, and I have yet to absorb all of it, but it is as my experience, my observations were borne out. It was very much an old boys network. The ones that came up through the ranks from the OSS days and when CIA was properly made an agency in the 50s and 60s, as one headline said, it was Mad Men, but with, you know, secrets. And it's true. It's a lot of coffee fetching and a lot of just sort of ingrained part of the wallpaper sexism, which was true across the board. The women that wanted more and aspired to more pulled themselves out of the secretarial pool and, you know, kept putting themselves out there. And it really wasn't until the 80s that the agency began hiring women specifically to go into operations, not just, you seem smart enough, you know, let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Or you're facile with languages. You know, they actually started hiring women to go into operations.
What advantages do women bring to operations?
Oh, I think there are many. It's still very much a man's world, so the disadvantages, I think, are fairly obvious. However, women are, this is a big generalization, but that's what it's for, women are less threatening. They are great listeners. They're much better at understanding body language. All of these things, which are really helpful in the human intelligence collection. It's not spy satellites, but it's actually dealing with other human beings and trying to suss out what are their motivations, what they're saying one thing but feeling another. Women definitely have an advantage.
Very interesting. Now, in your last book, Fair Game, you had to go through CIA censors before it could be published, and the book had a bunch of black lines through it, the redacted parts and all of that. For fiction, are you required to do anything like that?
I am. I signed a secrecy agreement, and that means that I promise for my whole life never to reveal sources or methods or classified information, which I completely appreciate and support. But when I submitted this, they understood that it was fictional. I was not revealing any national security secrets, and happily the whole process went much more much smoother than with Fair Game.
Did they take anything out?
I don't think they did. I think there was just one word which I can't say.
Right.
But the word isn't blowback. What does blowback mean?
Well, it means the, you know, the fallout and the literal. It's blowback from a gun is the technical term, right? When you shoot and you get blowback. But it's this from things going awry and you get a big mess, then what comes at you is blowback. So when things don't go the way you want. And there's a lot of that in fiction.
Right.
As in real life.
Yeah, not entirely unlike real life. The development you were talking earlier about, the development of nuclear weapons in Iran as part of the theme of this book and part of your own personal interest, and you are an anti-nuclear activist and doing this, doing a lot of excellent work in that whole domain. Are there things that the reader can learn about that from this book that they wouldn't get from, say, reading the newspaper?
Good question. I think the ease in which nuclear technology can be spread and the lack of controls where we need it more, particularly, you know, it's the highly enriched uranium. And as we know, in the former Soviet Union, that real, in many ways, potatoes were guarded better than highly enriched uranium. But overall, I hope that the reader takes away from Blowback the urgency of this issue, how the nexus of nuclear proliferation and terrorism is absolutely the most catastrophic thing that we face, other than perhaps climate change, in terms of truly civilization-altering catastrophe. But I so I'm hopeful that folks who pick up Blowback are a little more intrigued by the issue and determined to educate themselves and understand what exactly can I do to prevent the continued wholesale proliferation of nuclear weapons.
When you read a book like this, I mean, as a reader, the whole issue of the kind of politics and intelligence gathering and intrigue around nuclear weapons and, you know, all the things that are going on and relations between heads of different countries and intelligence services of different countries and so on, it's so overwhelming to the kind of civilian layman that, I mean, it's one thing to get involved with climate change activism because you see weather patterns changing. But this is sort of, it's so far beyond what we see and feel and smell as part of our daily lives, and it's part of a kind of a set of weird mafias and dangerous people, and on some level you don't even want to touch it.
I understand and I agree that it can be quite intimidating. It's not like you feel, well, if I change out my one light bulb for one that is more energy efficient, that I'm doing my part. It's hard to know as an individual where do you begin to make it known to your political leaders that we want to stop. An organization I'm involved with, if your listeners go to globalzero.org, is very highly thought of, nonpartisan. And it's how do you advance, how do you get this message to political leaders internationally? Where is that political will? We have simply been lucky so far. But I agree, the power of the individual should not be underestimated. There's a great quote by Margaret Mead on that, of changing, the individual of changing
small groups of people being the, Now, we're talking to Valerie Plame and Sarah Lovett about their new thriller, Blowback. So when you, Sarah, would then go home with all this information and you were involved in basically just crafting the book, what was, I mean, what was that like? How was it different from the other books that you've written?
Well, in some ways, as we talked about with research, having Valerie there, and sometimes I was very apologetic with, here comes another email, here comes another email, here comes another email. What about, what if, what's this, what, you know, that kind of stuff. And it makes you very spoiled as a writer. But it's so great to have that kind of feedback and bounce coming in. And that happens with, you know, what characters would do and what interactions and hierarchies between certain government agencies and all sorts of dynamics to, you know, to bounce and talk about. So that's great. The I'd say the process was similar in certain ways of wearing my slippers and pajamas a lot of the time and sometimes lying on the floor just going, oh my God, this is a lot of information to digest. But it is that, you know, the process, a part of that process is distilling both, you know, Valerie and I back and forth, looking at pages to say how much is too, you know, trying to get the truth, trying to get the sense of the truth, but in a fictional way so it can be absorbed.
And keep the pacing.
Keep the pacing and keep the reader moving because they don't need to know every detail. And Valerie won't reveal most of those things. So, you know, so there was that. And then... But the other thing I think is just one thing about the series overall. I'm so excited moving into the second book, and I think Valerie too. It's to have the opportunity to live with Vanessa and let her make mistakes. There are plenty of mistakes. She's very human, you know. But also I'm thinking about the way she's learning and growing and changing, you know, through, which is a very female trait, I think.
Evolving.
And that's not that men don't do this, but women do it well. And in adverse arenas sometimes. So I think that's really exciting to me, is to be able to think about, you know, not only really attaching and nailing a personality and a character and her drive and, you know, for Valerie and for me both, but then to see her grow and to see where she goes, mm-hmm. and see and watch her deal with those bad guys in the world.
The book is called Blowback, and co-authors Valerie Plame and Sarah Lovett will be at Collected Works Bookstore tonight at 6 o'clock giving a talk and signing books, and I will also be there.
Woo-hoo.
Doing another Q&A with you
thank
guys.
Thank you so much, Mary Shirley.
The audience will be able to also ask questions. So I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.